Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Omar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I feel like I'm at a boxing press conference because there's so many familiar faces, like the man in front of me, Gareth A. Davis, Jamie Cox, David Hay, but we're not at a boxing press conference. Our viewers won't know too much about the bare knuckle scene, so why don't you fill us in, please, Gareth?
Well, it's historic. I mean, David Feldman's brought bare knuckle fighting championship here to the UK for the first time, and of course, when the Marquess of Queensbury rules, Umar, were written in 1865, I think it was, and then obviously published in 1867, when the gloves went on, the gloves are off again here for this event, headlined by Michael Venom Page, known for his Bellator, he's had boxing matches, of course, as well, but known for his Bellator career, but against Platinum Mike Perry, big character from America, from mixed martial arts, who's had a bare knuckle fight already, and we're set for an event on August the 20th. I won't be here. I'll be in Saudi Arabia. I think you will probably as well, with Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk. And I think we're going to see them tomorrow, aren't we? So
we are going to see them tomorrow, and we'll come on to that in a second. But yeah, as you said, first event where the gloves are off in the UK. So yeah, a big moment for this movement with BKFC. How far do you think it can go, Gareth?
Well, I think there's, you know, there's an appetite for it, definitely. You know, the purists won't love it, but as I say, way back in pre-1865, it was the thing. Jem Mace, Jack Broughton, Jack Figg. Elizabeth Wilkinson was a very famous bare-knuckle female fighter and brilliant at fighting with swords and all sorts. Back in the 1820s, it might have been. It might have even been earlier than that. But, you know, bare-knuckle fighting started with the London prize fighting rules, and the champion of London was the champion of the world at the time. So it was a very big movement. You know, the Victorians loved it, of course. So, you know, how big can it go? Well, it just depends whether it takes off. I wonder whether they get a TV deal. You know, it's a very gory spectacle. I mean, it's knuckles, remember? So there's lots of cuts, there's lots of blood. You know, there's massive knockouts in this. So, you know, and it's 5 2-minute rounds. The longest bare knuckle fight, by the way, was 6 hours 15 minutes. I think it was in Perth, Australia, back in the 1850s or something. I know, can you imagine? I can't remember the participants, but it was 6 hours 15 minutes. Can you just imagine that? I mean, look, there's such an appetite for different fights at the moment. Look at the interest around Jake Paul and Tommy Fury, for example, a YouTuber against a guy who's got a dual career on Love Island and as a boxer from this famous boxing family, the Furies. We don't know if it will really take off, but they're going to put their all into it. They're all into it. And, you know, they're going to make a real push for it here. We'll see. We'll see whether there is an appetite. We don't know yet, but it's an art form. And you know, shout fight, fight, fight in the playground, and people come and make a circle and watch it, don't they? So we'll see.
We will see indeed. You mentioned Tommy and Jake there. I've seen a lot of people, quite surprisingly in my opinion, pick Jake Paul to beat Tommy Fury. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, no, I'm not picking Jake Paul to beat Tommy Fury. I mean, there's a lot of jeopardy for Tommy Fury in this fight, definitely. I think Tyson's saying he shouldn't be a boxer if he doesn't beat Jake Paul, but Jake Paul's improved quite a lot, and I think people are giving him, you know, a lot more credit since he knocked out Tyron Woodley and got more involved in boxing with the Taylor Serrano fight and women's promoting Amanda Serrano. You know, he's interesting for the sport. He's got legions of followers. It's a time of crossover with the internet and linear, the mainstream, and so he's exploiting his own marketability. And you know, I think we're all going to watch that, rubbernecking or not. We are fascinated by it. You know, as I say, there's a lot on the line for Tommy. Tyson, million dollar bet with Jake Paul in the last couple of days. It's all heating up. It's going to be a big summer of fights, and hopefully we get Fury back then. Tyson Fury.
It's going to take $500 million, though, so who's going to stump that up?
Yeah, I interviewed him. He's on tour at the moment, isn't he? I'm going to do a couple of tour dates with him around the country, hopefully. They're about to sign those up and get on the tour with him. But half a billy is unrealistic, but you know what he means. And if Anthony Joshua does pull off victory over Alexander Usyk, we have the biggest fight in our lifetimes on our hands in the UK. And you know, it was fascinating last week to see Anthony Joshua and Alexander Usyk together. Usyk was playing with him. Usyk looked heavy, didn't he? Looked big. Anthony Joshua's got to use educated pressure and be aggressive in the first six rounds. If Usyk's there, seven, eight, nine rounds, I think AJ's got problems again. But I liked what he said. I like him feeling like he's the comeback king. I like the Robert Garcia thing. They kept it quiet. He's been coming over since December. Usyk has got this extraordinary backdrop at the moment with the war in Ukraine with Russia, and he's got out of that and serving with the territorial forces, and he's got a lot on the line as well. And yeah, it was fascinating. It was like a scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark, wasn't it, when they were over in Jeddah for the press conference last week. Really looking forward to seeing them this week and talking about the stories in the backdrop for both men in the build-up and the narrative to this fight.
You were quite vocal, I remember, about the fight being in Saudi Arabia because the situation with Alexander Usyk and a media hub like New York or London you thought would have been more appropriate. So now it has gone to Saudi. What's your stance on it, Gareth, and your opinion?
Well, business kind of won out, didn't it? The site fee, $92 million or $120 million reportedly. You know, it's a very big fight. They've gone for the money. They're doing it in prime time in the UK. Yeah, I didn't agree with it. I mean, I was vocal about it, just repeating myself that I think it should have come to London. The first fight was in London. It was an amazing occasion. And I think London was set fair for it. And I think Usyk could have used London for his messaging more, humanitarian messaging, if he wants to. Didn't notice he and Alexander Krasiuk were quite emotional at that press conference. And rightly so. It's a very, very serious situation. I mean, even last night, terrible atrocities that are going on. People being killed for no reason, really. It's terrible. But I think that, you know, Saudi's got its own records. You know, the sports washing is well documented. But it's there now, and, you know, that's where we're heading. And that's the sojourn in August. It will be to the Middle East, to Saudi. They've just gone for the highest bidder. So, you know, they are going to both have massive paydays. And I hope the event is successful. I'll see you there.
Absolutely. Quick one before we go. On TalkSport, you spoke to Frank Warren, Joseph Parker, Joe Joyce and Ben Shalom very recently. You know what I'm going to ask? Your thoughts on the $1.2 million offer from Shalom to stage Joyce and Parker on Sky Sports?
Well, Joe Joyce is fighting Christian Hammer this weekend, yeah, Isn't he? So he's got to win that. Joseph Parker, I hear, may be fighting Lucas Brown. I don't know if that's confirmed. You know, they might fight in the autumn. Yes, it's a great fight. It depends whether it's released by BT Sport and Frank Warren to go over there, Joe, to fight Parker on Sky. they could push an offer the other way, couldn't they? So
they have made an offer back, actually. Exactly.
So it's promoter speak, isn't it? And you know, Joe's gone for a very good offer with Sky, obviously, and I'm sure they do want to meet, but I've got to run because I've got to host this press conference.
And you go. Thank you very much for your time. All right.
Pleasure, as always.
Sports Social Podcast Network.